The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Into the 3 o'clock hour we go. Daily Gambit coming up here shortly. Someone had a good night last night. We'll get into that in a little bit. Lakers go down a game last night to finish the five-game roadie, 1-4. And yesterday, LeBron James, at 40, almost 40 years of age, keeps playing like he's one of the best players in the league. And is still one of the best players in the league. And it was, from a Laker fan standpoint, Scraby, it was disappointing to see the 39-year-old man playing harder than everybody on his team.
I don't understand how this happens. We're going to talk about JJ Redick's
JJ's reaction.
Don't understand how this is a thing.
I don't either. I really don't. Like, at some point, you're looking at this 39-year-old. I know he's LeBron James, but in the back of your mind, you got to be thinking to yourself, he's 39.
And he's LeBron James.
Like, I should probably not get caught looking at the basketball and not going to get it. But it happened quite a bit. Memphis ends up thumping the Lakers last night. And what I didn't know is that John Morant's not a big fan of the Lakers. Now, if you remember 2 years ago, Lakers removed them out of the playoffs pretty handedly. Apparently, according to John, there was a lot of chatter last year when he was, you know, injured, not playing, in street clothes. He said there was a lot of, you know, talking.
Wow.
And so he took it personally. Him and LeBron both had two small celebrations back and forth at each other. One resulted in, not the play, but one of the other incidents was John Morant got a technical foul after getting the bucket, like ran into the back of LeBron, like pushing him, basically.
It's not smart.
No, it wasn't. LeBron didn't react, took the technical foul. But at the end of the day, Memphis wins. Ja says after the game that not a big fan of the Lakers. And then went on to Twitter to add a little bit more. I think somebody posted LeBron giving him the too small sign, and he posted some cartoon character holding up
the
L sign at the end.
So I love it. I mean, this is what
Petty
you need.
Petty Morant is at it early in the season, apparently.
And I'm happy that he is staying out of trouble, because
yes.
I'm much happier talking about this stuff. But I love it. There needs to be more rivalry in basketball. I get behind that stuff. If there's two teams that hate each other, I'll probably watch that game just because of the added element to it.
I got to show some love to Jason Tatum. Although he didn't get to 40, he still had a pretty good game. 32, it was in a losing effort. So Steve Kerr still got the last laugh.
You see what the fans did?
They were booing him.
Yeah, and he just waved.
And he waved. Steve, you know, that's not one guy you're going to get under his skin very much.
It doesn't seem like it.
It doesn't seem like it at all. And then it was nice to see him in Tatum embrace after the game. So, you know, I think it's more us making a bigger deal out of it than the two people actually involved. Remember, Steve Kerr elected to leave him out of the rotation there in the USA
Olympics.
The Olympics, and not the USA Olympics, but in the Olympics for the USA team. And quite frankly, Steve Kerr proved to be right. They won a gold medal. They won it rather easily. And, you know, it'd be different if, you know, somehow the USA team didn't do well.
Then there'd be a bigger argument
for this. But you got 13 of, like, the best players in the league. Someone's not going to play.
Maybe Joel Embiid should have sat out.
Maybe, but when he was in there, they sure enough kept winning. So
they did. He played pretty well in the last couple games.
All right, I'm turning this over to you for the Daily Gambit.
Do you like money?
I think about money a lot.
Do you like money without doing anything?
Winning.
Do you want to make money while watching sports?
I think Washington is a mortal lock.
Washington! Woohoo!
If you answered yes, this is your segment. Just don't blame us when you lose.
Well, nothing is ever your fault.
It's your game. Take it.
Gwen and Chris go through the top bets of the day in The Daily Gambit on 97.3 The Fan.
Daily Gambit is our daily sports betting segment here on Gwen and Chris. Please, everybody, gamble responsibly. I'm looking at MLB Network right now, and they're saying that Mets owner Steve Cohen is set to meet with Juan Soto next week in California. I need the Juan Soto free agency odds, so we'll get those.
Steve Ballmer of MLB.
Steve, is that Steve Cohen?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, Steve Ballmer, Clippers owner.
Yeah.
But Steve Ballmer, to me, is so much cooler.
Would you rather have an owner like Ballmer that's... Ah!
And it depends.
Cohen, who is like behind the scenes, you really don't
see
right.
I would complain a lot about an owner that was...
You especially would complain about
it. You're right. You got me. I take it back. I would want more of a quiet guy. So last night we had a bunch of bets, and the first one, Memphis Grizzlies and the Lakers, over under a total score of 232 in the game. Chris went under. Tony and I went over. It was 131 to 114, so that is an over for a total of 245. The Cavs and the Pelicans.
1-0 for me. Just want to point that out.
The Cavs are 7-point favorites over the Pelicans last night. Chris and I chose the Pels. Tony chose the Cavs. The Cavs win 131-122, beating the spread by 2 points.
2-0 for me.
2-0 for Tony. OKC -7 at Denver. Chris and Tony chose Denver. I chose OKC. Denver ends up winning this one 124-122. What's the score, Tony, for you?
3-0 for me. All right.
Jason Tatum over under 30.5 points. Chris said under. Tony and I said over. And he barely got over, but he did get over with 32 points.
4-0 for me.
I had to leave room for that. Luka Doncic, points plus rebounds plus assists, over under 49.5. Tony and I went under. Chris went over. Chris was way closer than I thought he was going to be. Luka had 47 total, 27 points, 7 rebounds, 13 assists in this game.
5-0. And this one was funny because I saw the box score. I saw it, and I had to get my calculator out. I was like, all right, it's 47, and I immediately got sad.
I thought
45 was the number. Then I went back, looked, 49 was the number. 5-0.
Now, here's something that's sad, Tony.
Yes, it is.
We talked a lot. I gave a lot of flack to Ryder for being a school I've never heard of before. And USD was -1.5 on the spread. All of us chose USD. Unfortunately, Ryder won by 1 point, 68-67. So
yeah, I should have went with my gut and not picked USD like I normally do. But I was feeling good.
You were nice.
Cost me my first L.
Sorry about that, Tony. UCSD at the Aztecs last night. Negative. -11.5 points on the spread for the Aztecs. Chris and Tony chose them. I chose UCSD. Aztecs won the game, but they only won by 5. So there's your second loss of the day. And then finally, Vegas, Golden Knights, and the Edmonton Oilers. Over, under, total goals of 6.5 in the game.
Dang it.
Tony went over. I went under. I just barely made it. It was 4-2, so 6.
5-3 for me on that little 8 game. No, not at all. It got me. I did so well that it has actually moved me into first place.
For the week?
For the week. I am now 11-8 to you losers, 8-11.
Oh, my goodness. I did not expect for you to call us losers, but we are. We are. We're living out of our car this week because we've bet too much money.
Here's a report out of the GM meetings. Alex Bregman willing to play second base.
Whoa.
Maybe puts him in, remember, he just had bone chips removed from his elbow here a couple days ago. So that might open him up for a few more teams. Just saying.
Second, has he ever played second base in the big leagues?
I don't know.
All right. Let's get into our bets. That is, Padres are out of that one. He's going to cost a lot of money. Bengals at the Ravens tonight, Tony. I know that we have a listener, Dominic, who lives in the Baltimore area and was complaining on the chat earlier about the Ravens having a game because it's impossible to get out of the city. So, Dominic, we are here for you as you're trying to get out of the city of Baltimore. Bengals at Ravens. Ravens are 6-point favorites in this one. Champion, what do you got?
I'm going to say the Ravens win, but the Bengals cover.
Okay. I kind of feel the same. This is a make or break game for the Bengals.
They got to have it.
They have to.
They fall to what, 4-7 if they lose this game, I believe.
Yeah, they stay in their they keep up with the division and they also keep up with the AFC. This is a must win for the Bengals. I typed Ravens for some reason.
You didn't type Ravens. You typed Rayans.
So, yes, I did. Lamar Jackson. I saw this interesting bet earlier today. Over or under 8.5 rushing attempts in the game. Now, Lamar Jackson in the last handful of games against the Bengals has had at least 9 rushing attempts in the game. So I go first on this one, and I'm going to follow the trend. Say over.
Follower, I'll go under.
You'll go under.
He didn't have Derrick Henry in those other matchups.
That is true. Derrick Henry is very good.
Just a little bit.
Deontay Johnson. Now, I know a lot of people are upset. I did tell everybody during my fantasy football advice, don't play Deontay Johnson this week because he's still getting used to the team. He didn't have a big game. His over-under refer receiving yards tonight, 20.5, Tony.
Over.
Oh. I agree with you. He's going to get going. They put special plays in there for him. Now, Zay Flowers, the other wide receiver, he's been pretty good. I think he's had 4 out of the last 5 games over 100 yards. But the bet here is over under 63.5 receiving yards. I say he goes under. Got to stop Zay Flowers.
Over.
All right.
This is the game you picked out of all the games you could have picked this next one.
There's 3 games, so yes.
Just saying.
Okay, let me put another one in there, and then we'll go do that one, too. But the first one is going to be the Jazz and the Bucks.
Who have a combined 2 wins together in this, and they are both 2-12 combined.
The Bucks are 8.5-point favorites in this one, Tony.
I'll take the Bucks.
You'll take the Bucks. Jazz seem like they're pretty bad. I'll go with the Bucks, too. Next game, Chris's Bulls are at home. Timberwolves on the road. Timberwolves favored by 9.5 points.
Bulls will cover.
Bulls are starting to slip. I'm going to go T-Wolves. You go Bulls. T-Wolves. Come on. Got to spell that thing. And then Juan Soto, just to check his odds in free agency. Right now, it says on the website that I am on that he... The favorite team right now is the Yankees.
To win the World Series?
No, to sign Juan Soto. And then it's the Dodgers, then the Mets, then the Field, then the Phillies. Padres make the list at plus 1,000. I'm going to give you advice. Do not bet that Juan Soto will be a Padre. And if he does, it's icing on the cake for you because now he's on your team. But I doubt he will be a Padre. I'm increasingly thinking, Tony, he's going to go to the Mets.
That's where I think he's going to go. If it's not back to the Yankees, I think he heads to the Mets. I think him and Lindor would be a good little combo.
And he gets to stay in New York. Huge market. Team just coming off of a pretty hot run to the playoffs.
And mind you, he's won already in his career. You know what I'm saying? It's got a World Series ring. And it's not like going to the Mets would be a step back from that direction. They seem to be on the up and up.
Well, no, once they do something with Pete Alonso. That's what the pundits are saying.
Once who does something?
The Mets. Like whether they let him go or they bring him back.
Well, he's a free agent. What do you mean?
Well, they can bring him back.
I mean, yeah, they could have did that a long time ago, though.
I know. Yeah. So you're thinking he's gone.
I think that ship has sailed.
Okay.
We'll see, though.
All right.
Let's get to break. More Gwen and Chris on the other side of this traffic.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Chris Elouau with the Lady Ass Techs. Where are they playing them? Who are they playing the sack?
UC Davis.
UC Davis.
Oh, by the way. I had to go drop off a microphone to Chris before the show.
How did that go?
It's fine. He lives really close. That's the only reason I was nice enough to drop it off.
I figured that was the only reason why you're going.
It's literally like a 2-minute detour.
I was like, he must live right down the street.
He really does. You know how Chris complained about his lights, his Christmas lights, his icicle lights that he put outside? He doesn't want to do it. And we asked him, do you have any lights up? Well, he did have lights up. And I'm going to crush this guy when he gets back. Wow. Because to complain about putting up those lights is maybe the most first world thing I've ever heard out of Chris Ella.
First world thing?
Yes. Because it's one strand of lights. There's not even like two strands put together. It's just one strand across the house. And honestly, kind of looks bad. They did not put it up there correctly. I hope Lori's not listening.
I hope not either, Doug. This is
Lori. This is not for you. This is for Chris. If you are listening, but Chris complained so much about putting these lights up, it maybe took him 10 minutes. Like, if it took him longer than 10 minutes.
I can't wait for him to come back and you crush him about it.
He's going
to
be like, it's so much harder than you think, Scrat. I have to get up on a ladder. I have to attach it to the house.
Oh, ridiculous. Chris is not here to defend himself today.
Well, he takes shots at me all the time when I'm not here, so I'm going to take shots at him and his dumb icicle lights.
I hope Lori.
Again, sorry,
all
Lori.
I really do. Kevin Acey hitting us with some more. New info. Talked a little bit about Xander Bogaerts and whether he'll play short or second. And right now, I think it's still in the air. But the one thing that's pretty apparent is the Padres are looking to handle it a little bit different. I don't know if you remember last year, Xander Bogaerts, I believe, got to spring training and found out that he was moving to second base. He handled it like a pro. I don't know that he was pleased, at least early, to find out the way that he was.
He served his orders, but he was not happy, and you can tell.
By the way, he found out last minute. This year, it seems though that won't be the case. And this is quoting AJ Pryor. I think probably we'll try to have some information earlier for him this year than we did last year. I think it was cool the way he handled things. I was a little late because we had a lot of questions about the roster. So we'll get to Xander here in a little bit to have that conversation. Be respectful of him. We'll have that conversation with him here sooner rather than later. Bogey made a nice transition from short to second. Took him a couple of weeks to kind of get accustomed to it. Then he did, and then he got hurt. And when he came back, he was only at second for a little bit before he then had to move over to shortstop to finish the year, as Ha-Seong Kim had to eventually miss the rest of the year due to that shoulder issue. The other interesting thing here in the Kevin Acey Was it the mailbag?
Not mailbag. News dump.
News dump. There you go. It's a little bit about Luis Arraez. The Padres are looking forward to another season with Luis at the top of the lineup. Although they are looking for some tweaks. Now, I've said this on our show a few times. I think if he can just trim some of the fat off, as dominant as a hitter he is, and can maybe not chase as much, all of a sudden the walks get up, the on base gets up, and I think that's the kind of tweak they're looking for. AJ Preller's quoted as saying he's going to go out and rake.
He's going to go out and rake.
The question, I think, for him is going to be, does he tighten it up? Can he take the on-base percentage higher? Arraez, remember, played with a torn ligament in his thumb for the last 3 months of the season, hit 314, but his on-base was only 346, and this was the lowest of his six-year MLB career. Now, 346 is not bad. It's a little bit better than average. However, for a guy who gets that many hits, I'd like to see up a little bit more. You know, and I think him, this being his lowest of his career, I think is a good sign, because he did that again with 3 months of a torn thumb ligament in his hand. That clearly affected him down the stretch. His 3.6% walk rate was less than half of the 7.9 rate he brought into 24. So he didn't walk as much as he normally did. So I think it's safe to say, as good as Luis was last year, I think because of that injury, we didn't get to see the very best of him. I think that first, I don't know what, maybe that first month he was here, before he was exactly what we had hoped for. And then the thumb injury happened. I think that was in Texas when it happened. So let me see, look at the calendar when that was. Either way,
I know they played Texas July 4th.
Oh, so it was right around that time that I remember him sliding in the third, and that's when the whole thumb issue popped up. It was a head first slide. From that point on, you didn't get the same type of Luis Arraez. I mean, he still was the best hitter in the league, but not as good as we've seen. So I fully expect with a healthy Luis Arraez, you'll see some of that base tick up on its own.
So, okay, you just answered one of my questions, which was, how do you get him to walk more?
You don't need to. You just need him to get healthy, I think.
Get healthy, and then he can get on base.
All that stuff starts to work itself on. His career on base is 379. So, I mean, he was 30 points below where his career number is through the first five seasons of his career. So that tells me this was an aberration, yet he still won his third consecutive batting title.
I just feel like I could feel his thumb pain with him
when he first did it.
Yeah.
Every swing that didn't hit the barrel, you could see him like just grimacing and taking the hand off of it.
I don't know how you do that for the next 3 months.
Another little spot on here. Parting with Pro. Now, I know that scares people.
Hold on. This is deserved.
It's just a little insert before the actual little blurb.
Okay.
The Padres would like to have Jerickson Profar back in left field, and Profar would like to stay in San Diego, but he is testing free agency. And people around the league are at least somewhat familiar with the thinking of both sides believe it's unlikely that Profar returns. Multiple projections have Profar making between $12 and $16 million a year on a 3-year deal following his best big league campaign. That is almost certainly more than the Padres are willing to pay. Remember, the Padres paid him a whopping $1 million last year.
I mean, it was the steal of the century last year with him.
It does feel like because of the kind of the buzz in this GM meeting feels different than it did last year around this time.
In what way?
It just feels like there's a lot more teams moving and grooving this time.
Yeah.
You know, there's a little more conversation, a little more buzz coming out of that. And that typically means, you know, the market's going to be active. Scott Boras is a lot more vocal during this GM meeting.
He is. I'm seeing quotes from him everywhere.
Right. And, you know, it leads me to believe he's having some good dialogue while he's out there. He's got seven of the top 13, arguably seven of the top 13 players in this free agency. So, is Jerickson still with
Boras? I think so. I think so.
So, you know, it's time to get the bag.
Well, let's see how much. I think it's weird that we could do this, but let's see how much Jerickson has made in his career.
Hadn't made a lot.
He has not made a lot in you know, like
10 year career. I think the most he made was the Colorado year.
So he made, let's see. Yeah, Colorado was like $8 million. But he's made, I guess you're right. He signed a 3-year deal with the Padres for $21 million when he first got here. But it is time for him to get paid. I mean, he's a 10-year vet.
I mean, he's earned it, man. I mean, this dude.
Career earnings, here it is, $35
million. Okay.
Which is good.
It's great in terms of, you know, normalcy. But
yes.
In baseball terms, considering, you know, the type of time he's had in the league, 35 is probably on the lower side.
And I will tell everyone, because I see it on the chat a lot, we are still paying Eric Hosmer one more year.
Why is everybody still working?
$12.5 million or whatever it is could go right into Jerickson. You can give it right to him. Actually, Hosmer, why don't you just waive the last year of your $12.5 million?
That sounds like a great idea, Scravy. The Padres are one of the teams mentioned in Roki Suzuki.
It doesn't surprise me.
No. And they do have one pitcher that they got to fill that spot. Joe Musgrove is likely not going to be available all of 2025.
But you and I were talking because we were reading that the posting of Roki Suzuki is up in the air.
He may not end up showing up after all because of the time he's been in Japan, he's only eligible to get like a minor league deal. It's kind of similar to what Shohei signed when he first came over. And so, you know, that's not necessarily, he might be okay with that, but the team that has the rights in Japan may not be, and they can get a whole lot more if he's eligible to make more when he does come over, when he does post, as they call it, over to the United States. So we'll see. He may not even end up showing up here this season.
Here's a quote from the Athletic article that I was reading. Quote, the early buzz, of course, about Suzuki. The early buzz, of course, is centered around the Los Angeles Dodgers because it recently seems like they always get what they want.
I knew you were going to find that quote and find a way to get it in the show.
Because it's true.
Woe is me.
Yeah.
Let's get to break. Big Five on the other side. More Gwen and Chris.
Matt Scraby, Tony Gwynn Jr. here. Gwen and Chris, 97.3 The Fan. Chris Ello traveling with the Aztecs women's basketball team up to Sacramento to play UC Davis tomorrow. Actually, we have a very fun show tomorrow because for the first hour, it's going to be Chris and myself. And Tony is actually taking a longer weekend with the off day on Monday. And then for the final 3 hours of the show, it's Sammy and Scraby.
It's
back
cold
in action.
In here. I don't know if you know. This air conditioned vent that's like right over Chris.
Yeah.
It's pretty brutal.
We were talking about this yesterday. Chris says he doesn't get cold over there, and I don't know
it's
how
crazy.
It's possible. Because both of us have a vent that pumps air right on us.
Yeah, I'm glad I sit where I sit. This is
you're like in the vortex of air conditioning over there. But Sammy and Scraby tomorrow from 3 to 6, and then Chris will be joining us from the road 2 to 3. Tony will be back on Tuesday. We have the Big Five coming up, and we're going to be talking about the Lakers last night, something that J.J. Redick did in his press conference. The Wave made a first. Are you trying to give me hand signals like I give you, stretch?
Yeah, no.
What was that? What was that hand signal?
That was Reed.
Oh, that
was the
is
Reed.
Is that what I...
This is what you look like when you're doing it to me.
Yeah. Just like a crazy person? If you love Mediterranean food, try Spiro's for authentic Mediterranean cuisine in Coronado or La Jolla. For dining or takeout options, visit spiroscuisine.com. That's confusing.
Yeah, I don't know why this was Reed. But you know,
this usually is stretch.
I see that now. But I didn't do I didn't come to small.
Oh, you
pinches.
Didn't get, yeah, you didn't
I just
pinch
went like
it.
This.
That's true. That's true. That is really funny because I do give the guys a lot of hand signals and they're never really sure what's going on. All right, let's get into the Big Five after traffic.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five start now on 97.3 The Fan.
Big Five is brought to you by Summit Subaru of El Cajon. See all the two ways to save right now at summitsubaru.com. Someone just reminded me, I can't believe I didn't remember this when we were talking about health insurance and how MLB athletes get their surgeries and all that. My daily gripe last night was how quickly athletes get surgery after they injure themselves. Because it took me like 3 years to get my shoulder surgery after COVID. And it took Shohei Ohtani like 6 days to get his shoulder surgery.
I have no comment.
Yeah, it's just true. No, that was no my gripe. For that. That was my gripe. Like, they get hurt, they go right to the x-ray room.
I've only ever had surgery as... I've had one surgery outside of being an athlete.
Much different experience.
Well, in the case, it wasn't really surgery. I just had to have the plate and the screw removed out of my arm.
Okay, that's still something.
But the other surgeries, no, it was pretty quick.
They're like, Tony, just show up at the doctor at this time and things are ready to go
for
you.
That's exactly how I went. All of a sudden, I've been in my little gown with my back out, and then I'm waking up. That's pretty much how it goes.
Yeah. I put this on the screen last night, but I'll put it on again. Here's my surgery face right there. The one where I'm like...
Oh, yeah.
That was immediately out of surgery. All right. Uh-oh. The battery is low on this computer. Sorry, everybody. Almost shut everything down. Let me plug this in, Tony, and then we'll get started on the Big Five because J.J. Redick... Oh, no. It's shut down.
What happened?
The YouTube is going to be going...
Why is that happening?
Because I forgot my charger at home, so
Scraby's ruining the YouTube view.
Yeah.
They gone.
We'll get into it. I'm going to try to get
Now it's back to a regular radio show, so I don't need this camera just in front of my face anymore.
No, it's booting back up. It'll be with us in just a second. Anyway, that was a really dumb move on my part.
Number five.
Woe is me.
You talked earlier about your disappointment with the Lakers and their effort last night. Head coach J.J. Redick was asked by the media after the game about it, then was asked again, and this is what happened during the question.
J.J., you're talking a lot about two or three guys, getting them to put in the effort. You talked a lot about wanting to play hard and LeBron being the guy that played hard in tonight's game. How do you address that with the team? What's your philosophy for approaching that?
I just did.
Puts down the mic and just walks out of the room.
JJ, you're talking a lot.
So, you know, people are talking about the immaturity possibly of this. Tony, do you think he had the right to walk out?
Yeah, he had the right. Maybe not something that everybody likes, but he certainly had the right. And if he had already answered the question, as you said, the question before, and it was just a repeat question.
It was.
It was just worded differently. JJ's a pretty smart dude. Guy got a Duke education. So I assume that he knows when you're asking the same question and using different words in order to try to get a different answer. He probably was frustrated, too, on top of that. He's right. There's guys who weren't playing as hard as the oldest dude on the roster. And that's, I'm sure, pretty frustrating. You go, I think they went 4-0 at home? No, 3-0 at home. It went 1-3 on this road trip, something like that. 1-4 on this road trip. So they're 4-4 now. And after getting off to a good start, you see some effort issues, and that's not something you really want to be spending time coaching. Effort.
It's like 8 games in.
Right. Like, what? What is, and I think a lot of times we think as effort as, you know, jogging when you shouldn't be jogging. Sometimes it's about willing to like give your body up, like make that extra effort to go close out on a guy versus giving him an open shot. And JJ wasn't very happy about it.
He was not. Do I think he had the right to walk out? Yes, I do, because I've been in those scrums or those press conferences where like one reporter asks and then the next reporter asks the same thing. And then a third reporter will ask the same thing, and it's awkward because you're like, dude, were you not listening, or do you just really want to be the guy who asked the question? So, yes, he had the right to walk out, I believe.
Number four.
San Diego Wave FC made some history today, announcing the club has signed University of Texas forward Trinity Byers, making Byers the first active NCAA athlete to sign with an NWSL team since the league's recent elimination of the draft. Now, I didn't know this, but the league and the Players Association ratified a new collective bargaining agreement this summer that eliminated all forms of player drafts and granted players full free agency, meaning this offseason marks the first in the league's history that college and youth players are free to sign directly with teams of their choice. It's a shift because they want to compete with global leagues, and the NWSL became the first U.S. league to voluntarily remove the draft mechanism. The spokesperson for the NWSL said, quote, "The draft is an antiquated model that treats people as property to be sold or bought and sold. The new terms will empower players to decide which team environment is the best fit for their needs and their development." I'm up first. What do you think of a no draft type league? I'm curious. I'm interested about this whole no draft type league. I really am. I think that it's different for sure. The only problem is, what stops players from just signing with the best team? Is there a salary cap? I just feel like this is a slippery slope, and then one day you're going to have a really stacked team because now all the players just want to go there.
I think this model only works right now. Like if the money starts to become, you know, more, I don't think that it's going to be sustainable to have. You know, maybe it is sustainable. I think what's different about the NWSL versus, you know, the NFL, NBA, NWSL is having to compete on a global scale, right? They're having to compete with some of the teams in Europe as well, because players have the option to go out that way. And I'm not sure what the money is or how different it may be in Europe, but they also are competing against that. So I'm not sure how I feel about the a league with no draft. Maybe that's because I'm brainwashed, because that's the only leagues that I've really ever known here, is they all have some type of draft. I do have issue with how they frame the whole drafting process.
I did too.
They're doing, but I don't know if it needs to go that far. And again, maybe that's because the salaries aren't as high. Like, I mean, maybe you're much more willing to go to a specific team in a specific city when the money is right. You know, if it's not there yet in their league, maybe that's why the players chose to go this route. But I don't know exactly how I feel about it yet. I think it's going to take some time before we really see how this works.
Yeah, they say they also want to compete with, like, the international leagues. But international leagues have, now I don't know about women's soccer, but international leagues have big money to give out. So why would you just go overseas?
I just saw that FIFA is, I think it was in the billions, in the B range, of money they're about to invest in the women's side of soccer. So, to your point, I don't know the funding there. It might be a little bit different. It may, and maybe that's why they have to have the open market versus the draft.
That's a good point. We need a couple of years to see how this works out.
Number three.
Arizona Diamondbacks general manager Mike Hazen said he met with left-handed pitcher Jordan Montgomery in an effort to move past team owner Ken Kendrick's harsh public criticism after the season. If you don't remember, the owner of the Diamondbacks said this about Jordan Montgomery on a Phoenix radio station, quote, "Looking back in hindsight, a horrible decision to invest that money in a guy who performed as poorly as he did. It's our biggest mistake this season from a talent standpoint, and I'm the perpetrator of that," end quote. GM Hazen said Montgomery was accountable, and the organization was also accountable for ways that they failed him. He has exercised his $22.5 million option to stay with the D-backs earlier this week. Tony, would you be able to put this in the past after an owner says that about you?
It'd be tough. I'd be pitching angry from that point on, like from that standpoint. Like,
and you're working towards a new team,
you're
right?
Working towards a new team. I mean, and you're helping this owner every time you get out. So, I mean, that's something you're going to have to, like...
You have to couch that.
Couch that. But I think it would be. Like, I don't know how you don't MF them every time you walk by. I mean, your paycheck is already coming your way regardless at this point.
That is kind of a good thing because you know it's, he doesn't want to pay you.
He doesn't want to pay you. And I guess that's a great way. It's a great point. There's a way you can kind of get by. I know I am just making him pissed off every time my name is called.
It's true. And every time he has to look at that money leaving the bank account that's going into Jordan Montgomery's, I would also wait. If I'm Jordan Montgomery, I would order the actual paper check, and then I would wait like all of the days until I cash it so that their whole financial system is out of whack.
Yeah, no, that's not going to happen. He's got direct deposit for sure.
Yeah, who doesn't? Chris seems like a guy who likes to
take his paper check.
Yeah. I used to work in a bank for years, and people like coming into banks, and I don't understand it. I never go into banks.
Yeah,
ever.
I don't like going into banks.
I'll be honest. No, I wouldn't be able to put this in the past.
I know you. Petty Matt over here.
Yeah, Petty Scraby. What the owner said was not like, it was not just.
Looking back in hindsight, a horrible decision from a talent standpoint.
That's basically calling me a piece of trash.
And I'm the perpetrator of that.
I don't know that I could ever look at that guy again and feel the same way. I think that the $22.5 million is what he had to do because I don't think he would find that anywhere else.
Oh, of course. He should have taken. I think those comments came out before he opted in.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So it was probably sweet chin music for him when he was like, oh, yeah. I'm opt in.
I'm going to opt in, everybody. Yeah. But yeah, this would be hard to look past. Number two. This weekend, number 14 LSU will take on number 11 Alabama in a massive SEC matchup. But LSU is going to reportedly have an unexpected presence on the sideline Saturday. A live tiger, Tony. Per multiple reports, the Tigers are going to have their live mascot for the first time in nearly a decade, with State Senator Bill Wheat confirming the news to the Louisiana Illuminator. The school's not had a tiger in the stadium since 2015, following the death of Mike the Sixth from cancer in 2016. It's very sad. The return of the tiger is seemingly at the hands of Louisiana Governor Jeff Landry, who said earlier this fall he wanted to bring a live mascot back to LSU. I'm up first. Is it time we retire all live animals from being sports mascots? Yes, it's time. We saw what happened with Bevo and Ugga. Ugga can't even travel anymore because Ugga's so scared of anything.
Stop it.
Because Bevo tried to attack him.
We did try to attack him.
I think it's cool to have a tiger and a buffalo at games, but
yeah.
I'm such an animal lover now. I can't do this anymore. Let the tiger be a tiger.
I'm all for like the dogs of the world being mascots. Something that's cute.
Yeah, Ugga's fine. He just sits there anyway.
But if that buffalo gets loose, better yet, if that tiger somehow gets loose,
you're in trouble.
It's over.
It's over.
It's over for everybody on that sideline. Assuming hopefully he's eaten already at that point. Maybe it's not. But even then, it could just be for the thrill.
It could also be scared of the 100,000 people that are screaming at it.
That part, too. So I'm just saying, I think it might be time.
Thank you.
I do. I mean, you can keep, like I said, the dogs, that's somebody's pet, most likely, that they brought out.
Someone's bringing them home and taking care of it.
You can't take the tiger home. The buffalo is certainly not coming home with anybody. Yeah, it seems a little dangerous.
As I get older, I get so much softer with anything animals. Like,
yeah, I'm not that soft when it comes to animals.
You are. I'll give you
but
that.
But I definitely think that it's you're just asking for trouble. It's just going to take one time.
It's not about if. It's about
and
when.
Then, could you imagine what people... So let's say, God forbid... what's the new tiger's name? Does he have?
They
one?
Don't have. They didn't put it in because it's
say,
not Mike.
Let's say Mike the Seventh, right?
Yeah.
Mike the Seventh gets loose and hurts a bunch of people. Perhaps worse than that.
Yeah.
How? In 10 years from that point on, people will look back and be like, or 20 years from that point, people will look back and be like, why in the hell did they have a live tiger at
that
a
sounds,
game as
sounds
a
crazy.
As a mascot? It would sound crazy.
It would. Number one. After a pretty bad showing in the 2024 Olympics, breaker Rachel Ray Gunn is retiring from competition, Tony. She was, if you don't remember, mocked by the entire world, and I did feel pretty bad for her moves that she made during the breaking contest. She did not score a point. She told a Sydney radio station she's done competing because people have basically shamed her out of it. Tony, you're up first. Did the world ruin her hobby?
Yeah. The internet ruined her hobby.
I agree. This is
Twitter
very sad.
Ruined her hobby.
This is very sad.
Like, the poor lady was just out there having fun, doing her thing, a hobby she enjoyed that she now has to only do in her living room because y'all all was hating.
Yeah. Chris versus the, or Tony versus the fans next, 833-288-0973.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.